Hello, everybody. My name is Jason Hare, and welcome back to Making an Impact. Again, thank you all for joining us on Making an Impact. These are a series of conversations hosted by Scioto Properties that center in and around the healthcare and disability community. And today we have an episode for the DIYer in all of us. What are the home improvement projects that we should be thinking about now that summer has finally rolled back around? To give us an idea of what we should be looking for is Scioto Properties construction project manager, Lenny Jesuelli. Many of you might know Lenny from his pro tip section on our blog and in our newsletter, but what you might not know is that Lenny is responsible for all maintenance issues, either planned or unplanned, that come through Scioto's 1,800 plus property portfolio. We're in good hands though. Lenny is a construction specialist with over 25 years of achievement and success, managing residential projects up to and in excess of $1 million and commercial projects up to $10 million. The man is super dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and delivering quality projects, and we are very lucky to have him. Lenny, welcome to Making an Impact.
Morning, Jason. Glad to be here.
Awesome, Lenny. All right, so summer is the perfect time to check the areas in and around our properties for repairs and maintenance. So what do you think are the top problem areas we should be looking for as we begin our summer maintenance checklist?
Well, Jason, there's a lot of things that we should be looking for, especially in the spring and summer months. One of the biggest problem areas we see in homes has to do with gutter and water-related issues. The very first thing that people should do, especially in this season, is make sure that their gutters are clean and properly flowing and discharging water away from the foundation. Check your downspout extensions. Make sure that your water discharges a minimum of 4 feet from the foundation to keep water from entering the home and causing additional damages, possibly to foundations or finished areas and basements.
That's a great suggestion. And that's, you know, something that we all should be paying attention to. You know, I know that you've seen a lot of damage that comes from gutters that are not properly flowing away from a home. And give us a sense in a worst case scenario, say that you do have a finished basement and you have a gutter that's, again, it's a very easy thing to do, just have that downspout kind of going away from the property. But give us a sense on what the financial costs could be if you do have water intrusion that's not really noticed and then kind of leads to bigger problems with potential mold and other damages due to water intrusion.
Well, Jason, the cost can be exponential. We've seen in certain areas where the problem has been prolonged for long periods of time, where the repair costs crest $30,000 or $40,000 to be mitigated, and entire basements being reconstructed from mold growth. So a simple fix or a simple check of your gutters and your downspouts could prevent extremely costly repairs. One thing people should keep an eye out for, especially if you have a basement and often even a crawl space, it's a good idea to check your crawl space periodically. I would say quarterly would be a great idea. You don't even necessarily have to get into the crawl space. Just remove the crawl space cover and shine a flashlight. Look for standing water or an odor of dampness. That'll be an indicator that you have an issue somewhere, and you can either investigate that issue personally or you can call out a professional to take a look and see if they can find the source. In basements, especially finished basements, the odor or dampness issue is a strong indicator. Most people, when they have a damp or an odor in a basement, will simply just install a dehumidifier and think that that's curing the issue, when in fact it's not. There can still be an excessive amount of condensation building up behind the walls, which can lead to mold growth, poor air quality in the home, health-related issues. So it's always a good idea, if you sense that there is an issue, to locate the source. instead of trying to remedy the issue with, say, like, not that dehumidifiers are bad, but they're not going to cure the problem.
That's such a good point. It's to do a little bit of a deeper dive to find the source. Because like you said, if you smell mold, you got mold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate byproduct. All right, so that's a great suggestion. In terms of landscaping, so kind of moving outside of the house, staying in the yard area, anything we should be thinking about there? You know, I kind of think too, your landscaping or your grading next to your house probably has a lot to do with keeping water away. So I'd imagine that when we think about our landscaping, we should be considering that. But anything else that we should be thinking about with outdoors?
Well, you want to keep an eye on, obviously, the slope of your grade around your home. Spring and summer are great times to start doing landscape decoration, including myself. I love to go out and plant and decorate the exterior of my home. Mulch is a great add for color that can complement your plantings. It's important, though, when you put down mulch to make sure that you put it at the proper depth and the clearances from your foundation, and you also check and make sure that the slope from your home is correct. You know, industry standard states that you should have about 6 inches of fall in the first 10 feet from your foundation to direct water away and stop it from collecting around your foundation. And while mulch is a great accent and adds and enhances to the beauty of the exterior of the home, if it's installed too deep, or if you don't clear the old mulch out, it has the potential to attract wood-destroying insects and also can retain an excessive amount of water and dampness, which could create, again, where you get back into the basement issue, where you could end up with poor air quality in your home or dampness and condensation collecting along your foundation walls. So it's always a good idea to measure your depth. Industry standards says mulch should not exceed 4 inches. So you want about 2 to 4 inches of depth. Putting plastic down under your mulch as a weed barrier is not a good idea. Some people will tell you it's a great weed barrier, but it does not allow the ground to breathe and will also trap water and create unhealthy living conditions inside your home. So you're better off to use a landscape screen that's breathable, allows water to transfer freely through the products, and it will provide a great weed barrier for your exterior.
That's a great suggestion, and I feel like you're speaking directly to me when it comes to the mulch aspect, because I still have last year's mulch down, and I really don't feel like raking it out and putting new mulch down. So I'm glad we've had this conversation. So looking at too, you know, and I think this is probably a little bit more poignant in certain parts of the country than others, but we should definitely, I think, be looking if we have any type of dead foliage or dead trees on our properties. I'd imagine that, you know, considering again where we live and some of the fires that we've seen, that it's really important to stay on top of keeping our wooded areas or our lawns as clean as possible.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. Dead foliage, again, it can be a fire hazard. There's multiple hazards that can present. Obviously, dead wood will attract wood-destroying insects, which can transfer into your home and cause structural damages, and nobody wants that. In addition to that, dead branches and trees can present a serious health hazard. If you're out in the yard one day and it happens to be a breezy day and a large branch falls, it can be detrimental. So it's always a good idea to check your trees, especially trees close to the home. Make sure you have proper clearances and there's no dead branches overhanging common areas or even uncommon areas that have the potential to fall on you or your home for that matter.
Absolutely. And kind of going to in sticking with the potential of fire related damage, let's discuss, I guess, fire safety. So, you know, a lot of us are going to be using the grill or sitting by a fire pit. So what recommendations do you have to reduce our fire risk?
Well, when it comes to grill safety, there's a couple of key components. A, make sure that you have a proper clearance from your home with your grill. Many people will have the propensity to take their grill and put it close to the siding of the house or under an eave where it might be protected from sunlight or weather elements. We've seen many, many cases where grills have either melted or burnt exterior siding or caused damage to windows, vinyl windows in particular, because they're too close. So you want to make sure that you have proper clearances there. Another key factor to the grill is just like anything else, you have to clean your grill on a regular basis. Grease fires and grills are very common and pose an extreme hazard, obviously, especially particularly in propane fired grills. So you want to make sure that you periodically check the bottom of your grill, pull the grates out, make sure that you don't have grease collecting in the bottom of your grill. Most grills come equipped with a grease catch pan. They're relatively inexpensive at your local hardware stores. Make sure that you replace them on a regular basis because dripping grease that is on fire can catch that pan on fire, which could potentially be hazardous to your health and to the home.
Absolutely. And what about, this probably goes back to the landscaping aspect when you had talked about keeping the debris clear, but if you have an outdoor fire pit, one of the things that I always stress is being mindful of putting that fire out. And living up here in Maine, we have a lot of outdoor fire pits. We have a lot of outdoor fires. And that's something that we are always conscious about, especially because here we have a lot of pine needles on the ground. Pine needles are extremely flammable. So, you know, that I would imagine too, that if you're going to have a fire outside, keep it clean around the fire pit.
Yes, absolutely. Great. Fire pits are great too for getting rid of that dead wood. So, It's a 2-in-1. So I am a big advocate of fire pits. I love fire pits. I have a fire pit in my own home and we use it on a regular basis. And it's one of the most enjoyable aspects, especially on cool summer nights, to get out there and sit around the fire and have guests over or just family. A couple of things that people should keep in mind. Most people that have fire pits will stock wood for their fire pits. You want to make sure that your wood rack has a good clearance away from your structure. Again, sometimes folks will like to take that wood rack and put it up next to the house. Your cut logs or your dead trim tree limbs that you collect from the yard have the potential for wood destroying insects to be present in them. So the further away you can keep them from the home, the better they are. Covering your wood piles as well, just on the top, not completely, to keep the rain off the top is a great idea. Wet wood does attract wood destroying insects and does not burn as well in your fire pit. So you don't want to cover the entire stack of wood, but putting a top cover on to keep rain off is a great idea.
So that's a great suggestion, Lenny. You know, a couple other things that I would quickly point out is dryer vents. That's another thing that I think people sort of overlook that I would highly recommend cleaning yourself, or if it's too long or if you don't know how to clean a dryer vent, to hire a company. And also, I cannot stress this enough, know where your fire extinguishers are. And if you don't have a fire extinguisher in your house, get a fire extinguisher at your house. You know, in terms of fire safety, a lot to think about, but just make sure you're prepared and kind of go into the counter side of fire. Let's go back to water. Water can cause a substantial amount of damage through leaks, which could eventually lead to mold, which what you were talking about earlier, Lenny. In terms of other ways that we can keep water out of our house, any other recommendations in terms of what we should be looking for our windows and doors?
Absolutely. So there's a couple additional things that you can do. You want to, at least yearly, if not biannually, you want to take a walk around your home and just look at your windows and doors and the trim connections where your siding will adjoin to your trim. There is a sealant that goes around that to keep not only water out, but also insects. You want to make sure that that caulking or sealant that's in place is intact. You want to check and make sure that there's no gaps. Look for staining in the bottom corners of your windows. That would be an indicator that water is getting back behind your window somewhere or somehow. If you are unable to locate the source, you can call a window professional or a siding professional, and they can come out and find the source and get that corrected. The potential there is that if water continues to get behind, it could damage the sheeting on the house, which could potentially cause siding failure and result in a very costly repair. So again, a simple maintenance of, walking around your home with a good color match, caulking and making sure that all those penetrations are sealed, including your mechanical penetrations. Most electrical entrances and HVAC entrances have to penetrate the exterior of the house. You want to make sure that they're all sealed as well.
And I want to point out too, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, Lenny, is really easy, simple things to do, but we're talking, like Lenny said earlier, massive amounts of capital outlay if you have to repair some of this stuff. Yes. And that kind of goes into our last question. What types of services would you recommend scheduling on a yearly or a biannual basis that, again, can really stave off some much more costly repairs down the road?
Well, I think that the big thing that is commonly overlooked is HVAC system service and maintenance. Just like anything else that has lots of moving parts, it does require regular maintenance and cleaning. Just because your HVAC is working doesn't mean that it's working to its optimum potential. Changing your filter. In my home, I change my filter every 30 days, which is a little more than what's required, but it works for us. We have pets, so we actually generate a little bit more debris. The more activity your home has, the more frequently you should probably change your furnace filter, because you're going to kick up more debris, obviously, that will be collected by that filter. I do recommend that at minimum every bi-yearly or yearly that you should have your furnace and AC system serviced, which would include clean and inspection. And once a furnace reaches an age of about 8 years or more, that inspection should include the technician examining your heat exchanger. The older a unit gets, the potential is there for the heat exchanger to crack, which could potentially emit CO2 gases into the internal air of your home, which is a health hazard. Now, if you're following fire safety, you will have CO2 detectors in your house, and you'll have one located close to or near any gas-fired appliance. So if that leak does happen, your CO2 detector should pick that up and give you an indicator that there is an issue.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate it, Lenny. These are great suggestions. And I would even, you had mentioned pests, wood destroying insects a couple times. Yes. I would even think that that's something that we might want to consider, even if you're not seeing it, or if you haven't seen any carpenter ants or termites in your house, it's probably not a bad idea to schedule a yearly spray just in case.
Pest control is one of those ounce of prevention items. Just because you don't have pests doesn't mean that you shouldn't treat for pests. If you're in an area that is, especially for you, Jason, in a heavily wooded area, annual pest control is a fantastic idea. The cost is minimal in comparison to the potential outlay if you do get an infestation. But yes, I do recommend that every person have a routine pest inspection and treatment. You can do those annually or biannually, depending on the type of treatment that you select. And that should control any issues or potential issues that you may have.
Love it. Well, again, I feel like a lot of this was speaking to me, and I think I've got my weekend plans now that I need to go and make sure that my house is all up to speed. And Lenny, you're the man. I thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us about ways to keep our properties in tip-top shape. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And thanks to everybody who's tuned in to listen. We're going to share this conversation and Lenny's tips on our blog at scioto.com. Also, make sure you follow Lenny on LinkedIn to learn more about the construction projects he's working on, as well as to gain additional insight on ways to keep your property up to date. And finally, if you're not signed up for our email list, make sure you go to Scioto's website and enter that in or enter your info. That way, you'll never miss Lenny's pro tips and you'll stay up to date on all of our new podcasts. Until next time, remember to do your best to make an impact with all that you do. Again, I'm Jason Hare. Have a great week. So long, everybody.